Tonight I want to begin a series of messages under the title of Living in an Imperfect World. Living in an Imperfect World. Tonight we're going to look at one of the first areas, and that is injustice. We live in an imperfect world. Everybody should realize that. Sin has cursed our earth, as it were, and the many problems that we have. But we can also have victory in our hearts and in our lives, even though we live in that kind of world. There is a wrong way to react, and there's a right way to react. And we're going to talk about that tonight. There's a man by the name of Jim McLaren. Jim was 22 years of age. He was a Yale graduate. And he excelled in his studies, he excelled in football, sports, he excelled as an actor. And Jim had a motorcycle wreck. As he was out riding his motorcycle, a 20-ton bus hit him, and he almost died, and he lost his left leg just below the knee in that what we would call an accident. But then he became the very first one-legged athlete, or best rather, one-legged athlete in the whole world. The very best in all of the world. He set records in the New York and Boston marathons. He began competing in triathlons. If anybody knows what all is involved in that, you'd say, well, man, I'm absolutely amazed that he could do that. All of that was going pretty well for him after the original tragedy. But in 1993, in Los Angeles, a van hit him. And that van hit him head on and knocked him over into a lamp pole, and he was paralyzed. He got a $3.8 million settlement, went to Hawaii, and got addicted on cocaine. And he became so depressed, riding around in that wheelchair, he went out under the stars and looked up at God and said, "Why are you doing this to me?" Well, we shouldn't be too hard on him. We might have said the same thing. I don't know. But what he was saying to God is, "I'm sort of fed up with this injustice. This is not fair. Why are you letting these things happen to me?" Turn to Genesis 37, if you will. We want to look at just two verses. We'll look at some others along the way. As we think about this subject of injustice, we live in a world that is cursed and we have problems in it, and injustice is one of those problems. Genesis 37:3, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." Notice that he loved him more than all his children. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." This is a case where it seemed like that Jacob gave Joseph the coat. We've all heard about that and taught it, no doubt, and preached on it and taught it in Sunday school, many of our Sunday school teachers. But what it was symbolic of was that he had a special place. And whoever wore that beautiful robe, all of those beautiful colors, was not supposed to have to do any menial task whatsoever. And so, in one sense of the word, it seems like he treated the rest of the sons unfairly and unjustly. Let me ask you something tonight. You don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever been mistreated? Have you ever in your life thought that you were unjustly treated? I think that everybody in this building could find at least one time, and most of us would come up with a number of times that we feel like we have been unjustly treated. Surely all of us have. Now, let's think about the reality of the injustice. It's here. Historically, we have injustice. In the Bible, we have it. All kinds of illustrations in the Scripture. We have this one with Joseph. We have it with Daniel, where only because he was praying, he was cast into a den of lions. David was mis- was mistreated and abused by King Saul. That was injustice. And of course, Herod, on one occasion, killed all of the babies in order to, what he thought was, be able to kill the one that he heard was going to be a king, and that would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. So in church history and in the Bible, we have injustice. In secular history, we have injustice. I don't think anybody here tonight would deny the fact that slavery was not right. It was unjust. And yet, in some parts of the world, it still continues. It is an unjust practice. We've read about the American Indians, and I know that not all of the American Indians were noble, and not all of the white people were bad people. You might get that impression today, but I can tell you this, that many of the treaties that were made with the Indians were broken by the white man, and there was a lot of injustice done if you really know the true records all about it. There's injustice tonight from the heathen. I don't have time to elaborate on many of the things that are going on in our country today to the church and to the people that are Christians that are very, very unjust. In the homes, many times there is injustice. Sometimes parents favor one child over another child, and they give them a lot of honor, and they give them a lot of praise and a lot of attention where they do not the other. And that, I think, was one thing, whether we realize it or not, that Jacob probably did with Joseph. The text said he gave him more honor and more time and everything, it's insinuated there, than all his children. Not just some of the children or other of the children, but then all of his children. And so we see injustice. Now, what are the roots of injustice? Where does it come from? We have the word unfairness. Unfairness. There is unfairness. Life is unfair. Joseph's brothers became unjust in what they did because they were treated unjustly, and they got mad about it, and they kept that cycle going. That's the problem. And a caravan came through. They had thrown their brother in a pit, and then they sold him as a slave, and they were following, in a sense, you know, children learn what they live and what parents live in front of them. And that's what they had experienced. And so that's what they were continuing to do in the cycle of their own lives. And it was a very vicious cycle. And so we see it happening in the life of Joseph and his brothers. Society tries to excuse all of these things. All of the bad things that are going on, and those who keep that cycle going, society nowadays has all kinds of excuses. They'll say, well, they have a right to do what they're doing because they're from a dysfunctional family. That's not biblical. They may be from a dysfunctional family, but they don't have a right to continue that cycle. They say, she abuses children or he abuses children because they were abused, and that's why they do it, and you just have to accept it and understand it. No, that isn't what the Bible says. That is not proper justice. And they'll say, well, she just cannot help it because if you knew her circumstances, there's no way she could help it. That isn't what the Word of God teaches. The Bible teaches that we should not keep that cycle going. You say, well, my dad was an alcoholic, so I'm going to be an alcoholic. Or my mother lived a loose life, so I have every right to live a loose life. Not so, according to the Bible. And the sins of others do not excuse our sins in our life. Another thing would be the word unawareness. Some people continue that because they're unaware that God is always in control. You believe God's in control tonight? Say amen. Amen. He is absolutely in control of everything. Everything. He's not always responsible for it. And God does not always cause it. God allows it many times, but whatever happens to you or me, God is in control, and God can use that for His honor and His glory, and I believe He does. Psalm 76:10 basically tells us that God uses the wrath of man to praise Him. That's the kind of God we have. He can turn the wrath of man, the bad design of man, around, and God can use it to praise Him. And in injustice, many times, God will take injustice and turn it around and use it for His glory to praise Him. There's not anybody that can keep us from doing God's will but ourselves. Amen. The devil can't make you go against the will of God. We choose to go against the will of God. It is our response. It's not the injustice. It's what we choose after we face the injustice and how we respond to the injustice that determines the effect that thing in our life that was wrong is going to have in our life. Now, Joseph understood that. Joseph had that right in his heart. You see, he walked with God and he understood it. Joseph understood. He was sold as a slave. That's not a very pleasant experience. I wouldn't want to be sold as a slave, would you? He was sold as a slave. Later on, he was cast in prison unjustly. Potiphar's wife lied on him. He was thrown into prison. Things he did not do. All of that. And yet he had the composure and the spirituality that was strong enough in the faith where he said this: you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. You meant it for bad, God wanted to use it for good. And if you're unaware of that, here's what will happen to you. You'll get bitter. You'll get deeply angry and very bitter. And let me tell you tonight, there's nothing in the world that will cause more problems and impact you any worse than the terrible sin of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness defiles other people, not just you. You say, well, it's my bitterness, it's just me. No, it's other people. The Bible says so. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He's just saying, don't let bitterness be the thing that gets in your life and causes that. And sometimes when you're mistreated, if you don't remember that God is in control and God can take that and use it for His glory, then you're going to be very angry and very bitter. And there's nothing worse than a bitter Christian. I mean, they're just repulsive to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Esau, really, I don't think in this scenario, I don't think Esau was really the bitter one. I think Rebekah was the bitter one. You see, Rebekah had plans for her Jacob. And they had twin sons. Esau was born first and Jacob second. And God had told her in Genesis 25, 23, I think the verse is, that the older was going to serve the younger. And she really didn't want God's perfect plan, and she sort of wanted to get ahead of God. Many times that's what we do, and that's always a mistake. Esau had an affinity with his father, and they liked to go out hunting together. That he was a man's kind of man, and he was a athletic kind of guy, I believe. And Jacob and Esau would spend much time together, or Esau and his dad would spend much time together. But Jacob, the Bible says, was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now let me give you what the original language says right there. It says he was a mama's boy. All right? He was a little mama's boy in many ways. And she liked that and wanted it to be that way. He was her darling. He was her favorite, I believe, in the context of the Word of God. And Rebekah is the one here, I believe, that got so angry and got so bitter. And that bitterness defiled Jacob, I believe, and also defiled Esau. Jacob and Rebekah deceived Isaac. And as a result, Jacob got the birthright and the blessing. And so all of that spilled over into Jacob's life and Esau's life. Esau felt mistreated. He didn't accept it as God's will. Now, Joseph did, but Esau did not. And I believe he became angry. Now, they worked it out later, but he blamed Rebekah, and all of that bitterness and anger was something that spilled over into other people. Now, very hurriedly, let's talk about responding to injustice. It's here. It's going to happen. We have some Bible illustrations. We have it all around us. Some of you have faced that where you work. Some of you have faced it in school. Some of you have faced it in other relationships. Some of the children with their parents or their grandparents. I don't know. On and on. You can just go in a lot of different directions with that. But there's all kinds of injustice. Now, responding to injustice, how should we respond? One way we can do it is personal. We can respond to it personally. And here's what a lot of Baptists do. I'm not going to get mad, bless God. I'm just going to get even with you. That is the general personal response to whenever we're mistreated. I'll get even with him. I'll get even with her. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. And I am going to get even. And so what happens? That cycle of bitterness and anger and all of that continues. It just perpetuates the whole thing. Nobody comes out good as a result of that kind of situation. And then there's the principled response. A personal response, get angry, get bitter, get mad, get even. But a principled response. What is that? Well, the principles are right here in the Word. We always go back to the Word, don't we? We should. I mean, that's it. The principles are right here in the Word of God. Let me give you very quickly four guidelines that we find in the Word of God. One, recognize your responsibility. Amen. Recognize your responsibility. Joseph recognized his responsibility. And he could continue the cycle or he could break the cycle. And the principle was that the cycle needed to be broken and he was going to do it. Leaders many times blame society, as I said, but that is not what the Bible says. That is opposite of the Word of God. Listen to Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You can't blame anybody else. I don't care what's happened to you, how your daddy mistreated you, your mother mistreated you. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a believer, you're without excuse for doing the will of God and obeying the Word of God. Why? We're all going to answer for ourselves. Nobody's going to answer for you. You're not going to stand up at the judgment seat and say, God, bring mama over and bring daddy over and bring this foreman over and bring so-and-so over. You're not going to do that. You're going to stand there as one individual before Almighty God and give an answer. The second principle is refuse to retaliate. Refuse to retaliate. Joseph was promoted. And Joseph interpreted some dreams for Pharaoh. And then he was placed as the second man in all of that magnificent elite kingdom of Egypt. And that was a high position. A tremendous position, much higher than, say, the Vice President of the United States. It carried with it a lot more prestige and a lot more weight in that relationship. So he was second in command. About 20 years later, and we don't have time to go into the details, you know the story, but his brothers came, a lot of different things happened along the way, and they went back home, and one stayed, and so on and so forth. But then they finally came to Joseph, who was the second man in command. Now let me tell you what he could have done. He could have said, go out there and arrest those guys, take them down to the dungeon, and take their heads off. I'm going to, first of all, let me tell them who I am and tell them what they did and remind them, and then let's take their heads off. I've been waiting 20 years to get even with them. That's a good Baptist practice, amen? I've been waiting a long time to get even with that preacher. Or that other person, or that deacon, or that other member of the church. I've been waiting so long. But his brothers came. Did he have vengeance? No. He didn't. Could he have had? Yeah, he could have done. He could have commanded, and it would have been done, and it would not have been questioned. Reckon why he didn't take matters into his own hand and try to get even. If you listen to what God says tonight, Christian, Romans 12:19. We know a lot of verses. We don't really memorize this one. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Just leave the thing alone and let God handle it. God has a purpose in allowing it, and God will use it somehow to his glory. David would not retaliate when he was under authority. He had every chance to take Saul's head off. He could have killed him, but he would not do it when he was under authority. And then when David was in authority, neither would he retaliate to his son Absalom. He said, be careful. Don't mistreat him. Now, somebody did, but that wasn't his doing. He wanted Absalom to be treated carefully and graciously, showing a forgiving spirit. And then a third thing we need to remember, and I've sort of touched on it, remember God's sovereignty. Remember God's sovereignty. Again, in Genesis 50, you can read it in your own time, verses 21 and 22, right along there, you'll find that what he was saying, Joseph was saying, is that God, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Genesis 45:8, so then it was not you that sent me here, but God. Now, how do you figure that? Joseph just knew God was in control. He was a sovereign God. And he had him in a position. And by the way, if he hadn't been there, he wouldn't have stored up all that food, and the Jewish people would have died, and the Messiah would have never been born. You see, God knew exactly why he allowed it and what he was doing. Doesn't mean he caused it, but God can always use it. God allowed it. The worst enemy that we have becomes what I would call the unwitting instrument of God. I've been pastoring long enough to know that when you pastor long enough, you're going to have some enemies. But I'm telling you, they become the unwitting instrument of God. I could tell you some stories, but you wouldn't stay that late. But I can tell you that many times, and I'm not being mean about it or braggadocious about it or anything in any way, I'm just saying that there have been those who absolutely determined and planned to do me harm as a pastor of the church, but God turned it around and used it for good. And so I'm here tonight because of some of those things. So if you want to get mad at anybody, get mad at God, because God allowed those things in my life, and I believe ultimately to put me here in Fort Worth at Worth Baptist Church for these last 11 years. And I wish I had time to tell you a lot of stories. There's some of them very humorous, some of them very sad. Here's the fourth thing: rely on God's faithfulness. Rely on God's faithfulness. Shimei cursed David. He was mad at David. He didn't want David to be the king. He threw rocks at him. This was God's anointed man. This was David. But you know what? David could have struck back, but he did not strike back. He would not do it because he believed in the principle that God has laid down. And he knew and he believed that God would take care of matters. And God did take care of it. And friend, God always will. Don't over fret when you're mistreated, wherever it may be. Don't let it get you down. Don't get bitter. Don't use it for an excuse. Back up and see God allowing it and say, God, what do you want to show me? What do you want to teach me? How to bring more glory to you? And you know what? God will do that. Now back to Jim McLaren. When he was 33 and he was in Hawaii and he went out, asked that question. He didn't want to die and he really didn't want to live. He was a quadriplegic. But you know what? He made peace in his heart about that thing with God. And he took care of that. And he began to study and read about... He had had a classical education. He began to study about the Greeks. And he studied about some that were crippled. He studied about wounded men, some that were blind. And then finally he decided to look in the Bible. He began to read about Job. And he read through Job, and on the 10th time as he read through the book of Job, he got it. And he understood that God wanted to use it for his glory. Now, he is working on or has finished a doctoral dissertation, and people go to him because they're looking for a voice of someone who understands what it is to overcome injustice. All things are possible with God. Now, let me tell you, the most amazing thing of all is that God didn't give us justice. We complain about, we don't get justice, we don't get justice. Thank God I don't get justice. If I got justice, I'd get hell. If I got my just deserves, I'd die and go to hell. But the mercy of God will save anybody tonight. And listen, Christian, I don't know what you're going through. You do. A lot of you, I know a lot of you are going through some deep waters, some troubled times, finances, health, job, injustice, things you don't understand, family hurting you, so on and so forth. A lot of times in families, at funerals, I see that all the time. I drove up to a funeral home one day, and the funeral director came outside, said, Dr. Weaver, hurry up, come in here, hurry up. I said, what in the world's wrong? He said, this family, there's 12 of them, and they're fighting each other in here. Come in here and do something about it. I said, hey, why don't you do something about it, you know? Well, you'll drag me in the middle of that thing for it. But I'm not kidding. They were in a fight over the Bible that was to go in their daddy's hand in the casket, and they got bitter and angry and wouldn't speak to each other anymore after. Isn't that silly? You know? Listen, there's injustice. There are all kinds of problems. But we need to keep our hearts right with God, keep a sweet spirit. And if it happens, just say, okay, God. I didn't much like that. It wasn't very pleasant. But whatever it is, you take it. Have the attitude of Joseph. Amen. And you'll come out on the right side every time. Don't get bitter. Get better. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed, and we'll have our invitation very quickly. May God help you to come, whatever He's laid on your heart. Father, this is Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'd bless it to our hearts. There's so many things we do not understand in life, and much of it is not really what we would call just. Sometimes we're misunderstood. Sometimes we're abused. Sometimes we're mistreated. Sometimes things are not fair. But Lord, help us to see Your sovereign hand and Your faithfulness in all matters. Give us the sweet spirit of Joseph and not bitterness, and help us to give You praise and glory for it. Use the circumstances in our lives to draw us closer to You. It's not to get bitter, but to get better. In Jesus' name, amen.